We're doing the Yaakov. We're up to page Kuf Vav in the regular editions, Daf Samach Gimel in the Gemara. We heard the story of Rabbi Avu, who told how Hananya, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, when he went to exile, he would make leap years and sanctify the new moon in Chutz Laretz. And when he left, Israel, so he was the chief rabbi. And as he was out in Chutz Laretz, so the rabbis in Israel grew, and they outgrew him. And they became bigger rabbis than him. So they felt he was in error for making a court, for convening a court in Chutz Laretz. The only time you're permitted to convene the court in Chutz Laretz to set the calendar in Chutz Laretz is when the chief rabbi cannot be in Israel. The rabbis in Israel decided the time had come that he should no longer be chief rabbi if he's in Chutz Laretz, and he should not sanctify the new moon and define the calendar. So they sent two sages out to Chutz Laretz, Rabbi Yossi ben Kifar and the grandson of Zchariah ben Kevutal. And when he saw them, he asked them, "Why did you guys come?" So they said, "We came to learn Torah." So he notified everyone, these two men are the leaders of the generation, their grandfathers, their fathers served in the temple. He gave them a good reputation. After they had been established in the neighborhood, he would rule and say something's defiled. They would say, "Nope, that's pure." He would rule and say, "That's prohibited." They'd say, "Nope, that's permitted." So he sees that they're troublemakers. So he let it be known about them. Anashim alalu shel shaven shel tohem. These guys are liars. They're worthless. Amrulo. So they came into him and they said, "Hey, kvar banita. You already built our reputation. Viata yecholisto. You're not going to be able to destroy it. Kvar gadarta. You already put fences around us. People already view us as rabbis. You're not going to be able to break them down." He said to them, "Why are you contradicting my rulings? How come I'm ruling defiled? You're ruling pure. I'm saying prohibited. You're saying permitted." They said, "Well, you're making mistakes. Because you're doing a sin. You're defining the calendar outside Israel." He said, "What do you want from me? The great Rabbi Akiva, known as Akiva ben Yosef, he used to do that when he was in Chutz Laretz." They said, "Okay, Rabbi Akiva was the giant of his day, and there were no equal rabbis in Israel. So because he was the declared giant of the generation, so if he had to be in Chutz Laretz, so he declared the new month in Chutz Laretz." He said, "But when I left Israel, there was no one like me in Israel either. I left Israel and there I was the declared chief rabbi. There was no one there who was my equal." They said, "You're right. But the goats that you left matured, and now they have big horns. V'hem shigunu etzlecha, and they sent us here to you. V'kach amru lanu, and this is what they told us. Lechu v'imru lo b'shmeinu, go tell him in our name. Im shomea, mutav. If he is going to listen to us, fine. V'im lav, yehei benidui. And if not, we're going to put him in halachic ostracism. We're going to ban him, we're really going to give him a curse that he should drop dead. And then ignore him. If he doesn't accept what we say, so then he will be in halachic ostracism. And then ignore him and go to the masses and tell them. Im shomim mutav. If the masses listen to you that we're running the show from now on, we are running the calendar and not him, good. Ve'im lav. And if they are not willing to listen, so then Yalu Lahav, you could tell them that we are disowning them as Jews. They could go set up their own temple out on a mountain, Achiya Yivne Mizbech, and the man named Achia, who was one of their leaders, let him build his own altar. Hananya, this chief rabbi, right? Hananya, who they're talking to. Yinagen bechino, let him go play his harp. Ve'yichapru kulam, and let them all become apostates, because we're done with them. They're not going to break our ve'yomru, and I'm chelik berukhei Yisrael, and let them go up on that mountaintop and say they have nothing to do with the God of Israel. Let them invent their own religion. There's no, we are not granting them any legitimacy to run the calendar in Chutz Laretz. Either they accept or we're disowning them. Miyad go kolam bivchiya. So the nation heard that the courts in Israel were ready to disown them and say they're not a part of the Jewish people. They started weeping. So the masses all around said, notice Hananya, Rabbi Hananya didn't answer, but the masses said, of course we're part of, we have a part in the God of Israel. V'chokach lama. So why were they so tough and insistent that the calendar has to be instituted and ruled by the courts in Israel? Mishum sheneemar, because the verse says, Ki mitzion tetzet Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Torah comes out of Zion, the word of God comes out of Jerusalem. So if he's going to go against that, he's going against a pivotal concept in Judaism, that Torah begins here. And if he's going against that, then we're not accepting any of his Judaism. So either he accepts it, or there's nothing to talk about. So this is a very interesting concept. This discussion came up a second time in Jewish history. A few centuries after the Talmud, there was an argument between the courts of Israel and Babylon, the Gaonic period. Who runs the Jewish calendar? And the rabbis of Israel quoted this piece in Talmud. They said, "Ki mitzion teitzei Torah dvar Hashem Yerushalayim," but that can be understood as a little bit of a stretch, because the rabbis in that generation, just after the destruction of the temple, well, they were sanctifying the new moon. They were really making the calendar based on the rulings of the courts. What was happening in the Gaonic period, it would seem, was not that. They had a calendar set already. So, therefore, there was room for discussion. Who's to say that the courts in Israel have any more power than the courts in Chutz Laretz? This idea of Ki mitzion teitzei Torah, do you apply it to everything other than the calendar? So they held, yes, the Torah revealed to you that when it comes to the calendar, the courts in Israel rule, and the Torah was teaching you a premise that when it comes to Torah in general, the courts in Israel rule. But first of all, it has to be that the courts in Israel are fit to rule. Meaning, like they told Hananya, there are now big rabbis in Israel. It's true that when you left there weren't, but now there are. So now the Talmud is going to analyze what happened. The Talmud says, "Bishlemahu miter ve'mitamim lechumra." I understand when he said it's pure, they said defiled. I understand they were being more stringent; they could get away with it. Elahum tamei ve'mitarim hechi hava. How could it be that he will defile and they will say pure? We have a rule that when a rabbi rules that something's prohibited or defiled, another rabbi may not contradict him. So how could they contradict him? So the Talmud gives us a very strong answer. The Talmud says, you're right, but they felt that it was pivotal that they not follow him. It was pivotal to get the masses not to follow his ruling. So they went against this rule. This rule is when you're willing to respect him and say, yeah, he's fit to be there. But if you feel like we have a situation where they shouldn't be following him altogether, so then you're allowed to go against him, even contradict his ruling in his own town, even contradict his ruling to his own people. This rule is a very important rule. I was once a guest in a city in the United States, and the host had a question about something, and the meat and the milk got mixed up. So he said, how could I answer? You have a rabbi here. So that's rule number one. We have a mardash. If you have a rabbi who's in charge of the town, he has to rule on the questions of the town. And then once they asked, and they came back and said, well, would you agree with that? So I said, you can't even ask me such a question. Whether I do or don't, I have to say I do. So I'm going to tell you I do without hearing the details of the question, because that's our rule. If a rabbi gave a ruling one way, so then another rabbi isn't supposed to come along and say, gee, I think it should be different. Tino Rabbanan. Now we have a braisa that was validated by the Academy of Rav Chiya and Rav Ashi. Shenichnesu Rabbeinu lekerem beYavne. So the simple reading of these gemaros is when the rabbis entered the vineyard in Yavne, and their base medrash was called Kerem beYavne, the vineyard in Yavne. Why was it called the vineyard in Yavne? So the simple reading is they would have their academy set up with rows that look just like a vineyard. When you have a vineyard, you set up the grapevines in rows. The question is there more to it than that? Because grapes in Talmud have dual meaning. Grapes refer to the secrets of the Torah. Just like a grape, when you, in order to get the wine out of the grape, you have to squeeze it and then let it ferment. So too, the secrets of Torah require a certain fermentation process. You have to look at the surface and then try to figure out what's within the surface and let it sit. And then you could start grasping the secrets of Torah. So sometimes when we speak about wine or vineyard, we're not talking about the wine or the vineyard, we're talking about another concept. And what we're going to have to ask ourselves as we go through the stories now is, did the rabbis literally mean they entered the academy that was like a vineyard? Or is there something beyond the surface of what we're about to read? So, Hayusham, the rabbis present were. And again, we have to wonder whether what we're reading is on the surface or not, because the rabbis we're about to mention were living during the period of the Roman persecution. The Romans, the whole story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai that was persecuted and chased, that's this generation. So Rabbi Akiva was tortured to death, and we're dealing with Rabbi Akiva's disciples. Rabbi Yehuda, which was Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi, his father was chief rabbi, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda was also considered chief rabbi in his generation. The generation was impoverished. They'd sit down 5 students under 1 blanket. They didn't have any heating, and they were impoverished, but they were learning Torah in a massive way, dedicating their lives to Torah. Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. His father was chief rabbi of Tzfat, and he was also chief rabbi of Tzfat. And they're together, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nechemia, and Rabbi Elazar, no, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Patchu kulam mechvod achsanya v'dorshu. They all began with respecting their host, and each one gave the following speech. Now, this is a rule we have. Potachin b'chvod achsanya. When you begin a speech, begin by showing honor to your host. So what do some people do? They begin their speech by saying, Potachin b'chvod achsanya. You have to begin by showing honor to your host. Okay, thank you very much, host. Everything was very nice. That's not the nicest way to do it. What you're basically saying is, etiquette says I have to, so let me do it. Right. I only grasped this when I was once at a speech where a fine Talmud Chacham spoke, and when he got up to speak, he said, I want to begin by thanking the host. This place is set so beautifully. The food is so amazing. And I realized, hey, he's doing it without saying, you know, I have to do this, and it's coming out so much nicer. You know, he's beginning, and it really sounds authentic. If you begin by saying that Talmudic phrase, what you're saying is, etiquette requires me to thank you. Oh, let me thank you. Everything's great. You took all the air out of it by saying that. So this is a rule we should adhere to and not necessarily mention it. So, Patach Rabbi Yehuda Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom. Rabbi Yehuda, who was the first speaker in every place, he began B'chvod HaTorah. He began with the honor of Torah, so that's considered our host. That needs work. Now, this idea, why was he the first speaker everywhere? That goes back to the story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. You guys know the story? In a nutshell, the rabbis were sitting and talking, how do we view the Roman Empire? So Rabbi Yehuda said, what a wonderful empire. They build bridges, they make us marketplaces, we have great infrastructure, we have excellent coins. What a government. Rabbi Yossi was quiet. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, what are you talking about? They build bridges to take taxes. They build marketplace to set up brothels. Everything they're doing is for their own good. Nothing good about this kingdom. Yehuda ben Gerim, one of the disciples who was a descendant of converts, he was sitting in the room and he heard their conversation. He came home and he innocently repeated the conversation. But once he repeated the conversation outside the academy, so word spread. This is how the rabbis view the Roman Empire. The Romans heard of this and they said, okay, Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, who respected us, so he should get more respect. They made a decree, whenever the rabbis convene, the first to offer an opinion has to be Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why the Gemara over here calls him Hosham Dabim B'chol Makom. Rabbi Yehuda was the first to speak in every conference. That's this idea, yeah, the Romans implemented that. Rabbi Yossi, who was silent, kick him out to Tzfat, he's going to have to be exiled. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he spoke against us, he's going to get the death penalty. And that's when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai went into hiding, the famous story of the years he spent in the cave. So, what? That sounds right. So the Talmud says the first to speak was Rabbi Yehuda, and he began honoring the Torah. And Bezat Shem, next week we'll see his speech, what he said in honor of the Torah.